same money, if you buy cheese board, you get like way more food. So cheese boards are good. And I love my food. I ate a steak and I had roast potato. Oh boy, it's not lunchtime yet. And it was so good. But then I had the cheese board and I shared that with a friend. And the two cheeses we ordered were like a creamy brie and this Gouda thing. I'm not very good on the words of food, but is it called Gouda? 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 Something anyway. It's real good, solid yellow stuff. And the one on the list, you could choose two of the three that I didn't want, was blue cheese. Because though I love food, I don't like every bit of food. And I love cheese, but I'm not that exotic. And so when the cheese board came out, they got my order wrong. And there was blue cheese instead of the creamy brie cheese. And I was like, I do not love the blue cheese. Now, some of you do. And so me and my friend, he happened to like the blue, so he ate the whole piece of blue and I ate the whole piece of Gouda, and we were fine with that. I love food. I don't like all foods. There are some things I just don't like, but I love food. What does it mean when, like, we started again last week back into this idea that Jesus, well, it's not just an idea, this instruction from Jesus, this directive for life that he says of his followers, that the most important thing for them, if they're going to follow him and be like him, is that they love. That they love God and that they love one another. And I was thinking about this idea of loving one another that we're started last week and we're going to be on for about 10 weeks now, what it looks like to love one another. What does it mean when Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Just want to chuck that up there, thanks Jordan. That's from John 13. And what does that mean? As I have loved you, you must love each other. Love one another. Does it mean that you have to like each other? What does it really mean to love? Does it mean that you should enjoy one another? What if you're one of the one another's around here and I don't like you? You're a bit blue veiny for me. What if I'm one of your one another's and you don't like me? What do you do with that? What if I don't get the enjoyment or the warm feeling when I'm with you or you're with me or we're with somebody else? What then? Like, how does this idea of loving actually work? Is loving something the same as liking something? What does that mean? I mean, I love food, but not all food. But I love the food that I like. I love people. Most of you here would say that you love people. Actually, not all people, but the people that I like. See the difference? Can we just cut those lights, as in those ones? Yeah, I don't like those. That's cool. Just if you boost the house lights up to the house one, just bang that up and we'll be all happy. Cool. Yeah, that one. I love people, but not all people, but the people like you. You get that, don't you? What about this? I love the church. Not talking about a building or an institution, but this family we call church. Fellow followers of Jesus. I love the church family. Well, not every single one, but I love the ones I like. I think that sometimes that's how we are actually processing love, our mindset around love. I think in our current culture, when it comes to the idea of love, we're predominantly consumers. Because what we do is we consume what we like. And if we don't like it, we let our mate have it. We consume what we like. And if our love is of a consumer mentality, then it's not the love that Jesus is talking about. I love what I can consume, what makes me feel good, comfortable, alive, safe, filled up. And I consume it. And as a consumer, what happens if that's the main idea I have around life and love and relationships, then once I've consumed, I want more, and I want it now. And when I get bored with that taste or that person or that relationship, I want whatever's next or new. Don't we? Like, you just think, not just about people, but things. Like, we want the next, we want the new, way before it's past its use-by date. Although technology's getting onto it now, and they make stuff that only lasts for 2 years anyway, because they know that the next and the new is coming, and you will want it. We're consumers. Is that true in relationships sometimes? That within a relationship, we find ourselves as consumers, that this relationship is meeting a need in me right now. It's filling me up right now. That's good. I don't like the taste of this relationship anymore. It's not filling me up anymore. Therefore, I walk away from that relationship. And it's a bit like this. So if you're young guys I can talk to right now in the audience, because I was once a young guy. I can remember being 19. And I rocked up to this Bible school for a year. And the first day I arrived, I saw this girl. And I liked the look of her. She looked really good. One of the things I really liked about the look of her was her smile that she gave. I was just like, yeah. And that's about 33, 34 years ago. And I still like the look of her smile. I still, when I see her smile, it makes me feel something. As I got to know this girl, I found that not only did I like the look of her, but I liked being able to be sort of in close proximity. There's some kind of a vibe going on there. And then I liked the sound of her voice. And I liked the interaction that started. And eventually later on, I liked the touch of her as well. And I started having these feelings and thinking things like, oh, I think I might more than like this girl. Oh, maybe I'm falling in love. And I love this girl. But really, when I think back to it at 19, yeah, I did. I loved what she did for me. I love to consume her presence and her affirmation and her touch. And that's actually okay. But what if that's the limit of our love, to be a consumer only? Many years on, I think that a consumer kind of love from in my teens has become much more what I call a cycle of consuming and contributing, a different kind of love, more like the love that I think Jesus talks about. For Lorraine and I, for those that don't know us, the girl is Lorraine and she's my wife and we've been hanging out for a long time, and I still love to be close to her. I love the touch, I love the affirmation, I love the smile. But there's something that I've learned from when I was a young guy. Because, you know, as young guys, you like, I love this girl. What might be true is you might love holding her hand or kissing her or her touch. But over time, as you learn to love somebody, this is what changes. Instead of going, she makes me feel good, it shifts to being like, oh, I feel good when I know she feels good. And there's a difference. Where you start to take pleasure in the other person's pleasure and the other person being filled up and the other person being safe and the other person getting to dream. There's a shift goes on when we start to see the other person's needs above our own. But it is a cycle, because as we contribute to that person in love, we get great pleasure out of that, don't we? Because our pleasure gets intertwined with theirs. think our love needs to shift to a love that has a mindset of contributing, not consuming. There's a massive difference between the consumer and the contributor in a relationship. And I think the difference is what Jesus would call love. Have a look at John 15. This is so Jesus is expanding on this idea of loving each other. So he said that there's this command he gives people that they should love one another. And then it's almost like in John 15 verse 9 and through the next few verses, it's framed in such a way that you see this cycle, this consuming and contributing relationship. Look at verse 9. Jesus is trying to describe to his disciples what this love cycle looks like. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So to start with, notice who Jesus is in the relationship he's first describing. Did you know that Jesus is a consumer? Like sometimes we think the whole idea of consumer is negative. It's not all negative. If you stay there, it is. But for Jesus, he's a consumer of love. He's consumer of the Father's love. Do you see that? But then also, he becomes a contributor back to the Father, where he says, as I have kept my Father's commandment and remain in his love. You see what Jesus is doing? He's saying, I give my life away to the Father who loves me. He's in the cycle. I'm consuming the Father's love and I'm contributing back to the Father. Then he says this, verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. You see what shifts there? So Jesus is the consumer of the Father's love and he loves the Father and remains in the Father's love and obeys him. But Jesus also comes and he says, and I love you, I contribute to you, my followers. And then you as followers, you consume my love so that you might love each other. And then he says this, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. He's saying ultimately loving is about giving. And in this case, he's saying the greatest giving goes on when you give your life away. And we know Jesus did that for his followers and for us. So do you see that? The Father is contributing to the Son, and the Son is consuming the Father's love, and the Son is contributing to us, and we are consumers of his love, so that we in turn would love each other as contributors, and so each other would consume love. And then the thing just keeps on going around and around. It's almost like this one big cycle, but it's also a whole lot of circles that just interconnect. I guess the danger is that if we think of relationships primarily from a consumer mindset, we break the cycle. We disconnect the connecting circles. The whole thing, the community that's formed around love, gets torn apart when we're primarily consumers. Because you've got to then start asking the question, well, who the heck's going to contribute around here? And then all of a sudden we find that there's no one contributing into us. And we so desperately need that. It's like, you know, to use our words today, it's as if Jesus is saying, man, you need to be a contributor, not a consumer. But he's not really saying don't be a consumer. He's saying, as you consume my love, become a contributor to others. I like some of these quotes from the Bible that sort of, that take the same idea and put it into different contexts. One is Ephesians 5, talking about husbands and wives. And it says this to husbands, verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Do you hear that? So he's saying in that relationship, so if it's Lorraine and I, he's saying in this relationship, you should be the same in this relationship as I am to you. What did Jesus do for me? Gave his life up for me. Contributed hugely into my life. Freely gave it up. So I see Lorraine, and it's not like, oh, I'm in this relationship to be a consumer, though I do get to receive from her. primarily I see the relationship as I'm a contributor. I get to love Lorraine like Jesus has loved me. That means I'm willing to lay aside myself for her sake. Like, what does Jesus do? He's willing to go to the cross for us. Would I go to the cross for Lorraine? Will you go to whatever extent it is to give your life away for another? It's interesting where it goes. Verse 28. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. I always thought that was weird. It's kind of a weird thing, isn't it? So it's going like, well, if we can't convince you blokes any other way, you love yourselves, don't you? You know? So if your wife's, you know, meant to be the same as your own body, well, surely you'll love her anyway. But it actually does make sense. Because we still are consumers who want what is best for us, right? So if as a husband with my wife, if we're to be one, do you know what's best for me? Is for Lorraine to be greatly loved. You know what's best for me? For her to be fulfilled. What's best for me? For her to be safe. So even if you want to be totally selfish about it, in any relationship, not just husbands and wives, if you want to be selfish about it, the best way you can consume from others is by becoming a contributor to them. Because when they are safe and welcomed and accepted and belong and fulfilled and loved, you benefit. Because it's like loving your own body. Mark 10, I find this interesting that James and John, they're like the ultimate consumers. They're coming to Jesus saying, Jesus, we just want more from you. It's really cool hanging with you. You do all this amazing stuff, and everybody just gives you glory and God glory, and there's all this glory stuff, and it's cool. So when all this is done and dusted and we're in the kingdom, we want more of that because it's cool. Can we be beside you in the kingdom? And Jesus is just going, man, you guys have got it so wrong. It's not about what you can gain. It's about what you can give. Listen to his words. He's, verse 43 of Mark 10, when he's talking about the way that leaders in the world and rulers in the world seek to be consumers, to have all the glory, he says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. It's like, it's upside down. He's saying, this world is not about what you can gain. It's about what you can give. Verse 45, for even the Son of Man, even Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Do you hear that? Do you know what today is? What's today? Like, there's an official title on today in the Jewish calendar. What today is? Palm Sunday. Yeah? And it's the day where Jesus comes into Jerusalem a week before he's going to go to the cross. He comes into Jerusalem, and what do they say about Jesus? Hosanna to the Son of David. Glory to the coming King. And they're all like, yeah, Jesus, you're the man. Did Jesus come for that moment? No, he didn't. Because he gets off the donkey and a week later, he's been on the cross, he's been buried in the ground, and he's risen again. Easter next weekend. And he's done that because he's given his life away. He wasn't here to seek the glory of Palm Sunday. He was here to demonstrate his love Easter Friday as he would give his life for us. And in John 13, it's the classic one where Jesus shows what serving and giving looks like as he washes the disciples' feet on that night before he's crucified. And in John 13, verse 14, he says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done. You go, well, so what does all that mean? Well, this is simply put. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. The way I love you is that I give my life up for you. So you should do that for each other. You should give your life away. And I guess around here you would go, we would say, hey, so it's about being a contributor, not a consumer. I was thinking about that saying this week. Like, we're contributors, not consumers. This family we call City Bible Church, I would actually say, firstly, we are a community of consumers. Before we go to this idea of, just go to the next slide, thanks. Before we go to the idea of contributors. And here's to remind us that before we have anything to give each other, City Bible Church is a community of consumers. We're consumers of God's love, consumers of His grace and His mercy and His kindness and His welcome and forgiveness and His gifts, His rich generosity. And we always will be, and we always need to be. We need to understand that. And that we will continue to be consumers of one another's love, because often that's how God will love us, is through each other. We are a community of consumers. But this family called CBC is also a community of contributors. We sometimes like each other, but we need to always love each other. What's funny is that often when you start to love somebody, you learn to like them. Have you had that experience? Jesus sort of said stuff like that, like pray for your enemies. It's amazing how it changes your heart. You start to show kindness to the one that you don't really get on with or like, and you can learn to love them. We give, we serve, we encourage, we forgive, we care for, we pray for, we teach, we guide, we listen, we hug, we cry, we rejoice with one another. Because we are contributors of love, of His love to each other. And we do it because Jesus first loved us. So though I understand that we're continual consumers, I do get this shift of mindset. That City Bible Church are contributors, not consumers. That's who we are. Because we've consumed His love. Some of you last week were here and we prayed for our ministries, and you got the prayer cards. Anybody had these this week? Some of you got them? And we went around and we prayed for the different ministries and leaders of CBC and heard some of their stories and just had an awesome time. It was interesting that as we did that, I went to the Sunday Tots stand. Who went to the Sunday Tot stand? Anybody here? Where were you guys last week? Man. You didn't go to Sunday Tots? That was with Elise. Who went to that one? I know more than that went there. Yeah, a few of others. Okay. So Elise, who's just back here, she shared her story at Sunday Tots. When Elise was a... You're still young, by the way. When Elise was a young... No, a mum of young ones. A young mum. Still is young. But when Elise was a young mum with her two little boys, she said it was like Sunday Tots saved her. She would choose, even though at times her world would feel like falling apart as a young mum, she would choose to come on Sunday because she knew she needed to be here with God's people. Not because she needed to put on a show that it was she had it all together, but because she just knew she needed it. And she said she would come in, and she'd drop the boys in to Sunday Tots and be able to come into here, into the space, and to worship. And for her, that was so important to fill her up. There's seasons when we need to be real consumers, you know, like because of what life is like, because we're giving out so much. And then Elise said this. She said, so I'm doing that for others now at Sunday Tots. Because I want those parents to be able to come in to worship like I could. And it was interesting hearing her dream is that the kids would grow enough confidence and feel content to be in Sunday tots so that parents could enjoy as much time as they could in here worshipping with God's people. You see, that's what love looks like when the consumer becomes a contributor. It's a powerful thing. And in the next few moments, we're going to get really practical around this idea of contributing around here because it's important, because Jesus called us to love one another, give our lives up for each other. So right now, we're going to take a few minutes to pray for CBC. As we did last week, we went into groups all around the hall. We're going to just sort of stay in groups of four or five together and pray. And I want to tell you some exciting things about the contributor thing, some things to pray for. So if we can put up that prayer card, thanks. So in a moment, we're going to go to groups and we're going to pray for some of these things. We're going to pray for our ministries today. Now, who was not here last week? Okay, so last week, people got a ring and they went around groups and they picked up to eight of these from different groups as they prayed for the ministries, and then they picked up other loose ones off the tables at the end so they could have these to be able to pray for our ministries and our leaders for the next 10 weeks. For those of you who weren't here last week, you are very, very blessed to have pre-rung sets available on the table just through the door. So if you're on your way out, make sure you grab one of these so that you can know about the ministries and be praying for them, okay? There's also a few loose ones left there. If you guys haven't filled your whole ring up yet with the 22 cards, please do that. But as we were doing that last week, there's some cool things. Some of you met some of our new leaders. So one of the things we want to do is pray for our new leaders. So Stomp, which the weekend after Easter is going to start on Sunday mornings for our year 6 to year 9s, Mark and Adele Brown have stepped up into that role to be leaders of that ministry. How cool is that? Very cool. So Adele's been serving in that ministry for 3 years, and they've had kids in that ministry, and they just want to be contributors in that ministry. So I think that's awesome. The other one is that Jake Brown is going to begin leading the sound team and pulling a new team around him with that. And so that's really exciting too. I don't know, is Jake here? I haven't seen him today. No, but if you see Jake, encourage him with that. But that's exciting. You can clap for him even though he's not here. And that way, his mum can see him later and say, you got clapped for. But man, let's pray for those. Pray for all our leaders, but I want us today, let's pray for these new leaders. Because they're stepping out to give up energy and time and heart to need. We're going to be soon looking at some of the gaps, but just be praying generally that the gaps of contribution around here would be filled. And pray for the Love One Another series to transform us to be more like Jesus. Okay, so just you're going to be in groups of four or five praying for these things here for the next 4 or 5 minutes. Okay, and just be like last week, just short prayers, and then just keep taking turns, just praying for these needs here. Bouncing through them and just bringing them to the Father. Because part of what we were learning last week is that when we are praying for one another, we are loving one another. So we want to continue that on today. But let's especially pray around this area of contributors, these new leaders, some of the gaps to be filled. So just do that now. Let's just get into groups of four and five and just pray. Thank you.